Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Mordechai Plotzker. And tonight I'd like to try to go over just some highlights from the Parsha, Parsha's Miketz. This is a Parsha that's filled with drama and suspense, and it kind of is like the foreshadowing to the eclipse that we have with Vayigash, where Yehuda finally confronts Yosef. Just a few themes to think about as we close out this week's Parsha. Vayi Miketz Nasam Yamim Ufaro. Cholim Chalom, like Paro is going to have these dreams, we know that the word Vayihi is always a word that ushers in a Lashon Tsar, a Lashon of pain and discomfort. However, the word Miketz has a different connotation. Miketz, as Chazal say, could refer to the Sof of the Ketz, meaning the Sof called Sof, that the Gula is on its way, even though in the darkest of times we cannot see the light. The Neiros of Hanukkah, for example, are the ones that usher in that light. And this week's Parsha, by the way, was ushered in with the Haftorah that is seldom read, because typically Hanukkah falls on Parsha's Miketz. The next time we'll read this Haftorah that we read on Shabbos will be in 17 years. So that's point number one. Number two is that the word Miketz is also Rosh Hashanah for Mamon, Ko, and Tzom. And this is what we say on Yom Kippur. We say, that on top of those words, we see Tzom, Kol, and Mamon, same words. Each one of those words, Tzom, is equal to 136, Kol is equal to 136, and Mamon is also equal to 136. And so they're evenly distributed, but when you sum them all together, you end up with 408, and the gematria of Zos is 408. So, Bezos Yavo Aaron HaLakodesh. How did Aaron HaKohen walk into the Kutche Kutchem? He walked in with Zos, which is Tshuva Tzvila Utztaka, Mavir Nesrog Zera. So, Vayihi Miketz, that even though it was Lashon Tsar, Miketz already it's going to turn around and Yosef is going to find himself in a better stead. How is he going to be able to find himself in that better position? Miketz, through Mamon, Kol, and Tzom, through his Tzvilos and Bakashas to Akash Baruch Hu. And that is the secret sauce that we need in order for us to find success as well, especially in a difficult, challenging time. Last week, we had closed out with a question. I guess we'll open up this week with the answer. I want to thank everybody for submitting different, interesting answers. I asked, the first question was, I believe the question was, what is the significance of Paro naming Yosef Tzafnas Paneach? Or what is the interesting connection of Paneach between Yosef and maybe something else? So I was thinking that the word Paneach is equal to 208, and so is Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is also equal to 208. Interestingly enough, Tzafnas is equal to 620. So 620 refers to the 613 mitzvos and the Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. And that means that Yosef was the manig on kol ha'olam kulo. He was the epicenter of the world was in Egypt, and Yosef was the manig al ha'kol. So Yosef was able to keep the 613 mitzvot, as well as influence wherever he was able to, observance of the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach, equaling 620. The significance of 208 is to say that Yosef, like his father Yitzchak, who had instructed his son Yaakov to marry, as Rivka Imenu had said, the mother of Yaakov had said, "Kasi bechayei livnos ches," that it would be abominable for me for you to marry among the daughters of ches. You must go to my brother Lavan. He has two beautiful wives waiting for you there. And so Rachel and Leah were the ones that Yaakov married. But this was a connection to Yosef, because Yosef also had the same challenge. How was Yosef supposed to find a wife in a place like Mitzrayim? So he was intimating through the naming that Paro had given, and even though he wasn't in control of it, but everything is already, so to speak, in retrospect, 2020, Yosef was able to see in that name a reference to Yaakov's father, and that he, similarly to Yaakov, who was successful in finding Rachel and Leah, so too was Yosef successful in finding an Isha Keshera, such as Asnas, Bas Potiphera Kohen On, and she received the name Asnas because she was born as a remnant of the act between Dinah and Shechem, and Yaakov, fearing for her life, sat up one night and wrote on an amulet, Kol hanogea bi nogea babas Yaakov, anyone who touches me touches the daughter of Yaakov, rolled this up into an amulet, wrapped it around her neck, sent her to a faraway place, not knowing where, and she ended up being found the following morning in a sne alpines, in a bush by means of a miracle, and hence she got the name Asnas, which is a fusion of the word sne and nes. So this is the Isha Kshera that Yosef was able to find in a desolate place filled with immorality. And yet we find that that's the reason why Potiphar's wife, Potiphara, was so ensconced with Yosef, because she believed and she saw that she was going to have children through Yosef, but she was unaware that it was going to be through her daughter and not through herself. She was unaware of the Gemara that explains that someone who adopts a child is as though they gave birth to that child. So even though the child is not biological, that's still considered the parent. So that's the message between the 208. I hope you like it. I mean, I know that there are some other explanations as well. Yes, Yosef was also in a state of mourning, losing his family, his relatives. As the word meraglim, it's interesting, in this week's parsha, Yosef accuses the brothers of being meraglim. And Chazal say that the word meraglim is me'ime Rachel ganavtem la'yishma'ilim Yosef machartem. That from my own mother you stole me, and to the Ishmaelim you sold me. This is a very strong word. But the second explanation to meraglim is that once you accuse someone of being a spy, the regular population is not able to mingle with these, so to speak, spies, because then they would be also considered to be spies. So therefore, Yosef was limiting the communication between the brothers and the general population in order to keep them separate and unique, which was also the koach of keeping Klal Yisrael intact, that we would only stay among ourselves and not intermingle and lose ourselves in Mitzrayim, because it was very easy to do so. So by the Egyptians distancing themselves from Yosef's brothers, that secured two things. Number one, the continuity of Klal Yisrael, and secondly, lack of communication as to asking, how did this viceroy of Egypt come down to Egypt? Where did he come from? And if that information was leaked back to the brothers, they may have been able to put together the dots and realize that it's really Yosef before all of these events transpired, in order for Yosef to fully demonstrate to the brothers, as well as to himself, that there was complete tshuva on account of these brothers of his, and that there was shalom, that they would never do such a thing in the future, and that they had learned from their mistake. So therefore, and by the way, this wasn't really a mistake, I should preface this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of these circumstances, as the Zohar Kadosh explains, in order for the control to be within the family, as opposed to being given over to another memshala, another government or external force. I think that deserves a separate share, but we'll try to continue and carry forward. The third idea that I wanted to try to express is that it says that everything seems to be lost. We say that Yaakov comes to the realization that Shimon is now in prison, Yosef is lost, and the brothers had released the information that Binyamin was home with their father Yaakov. And Yaakov says, if they take Binyamin, then alai ha'yu kulana. Everything was lost. So the word alai ha'yu kulana, the word alai, was back in Parshas Toldos when Rivka Yimenu had said, alai kilafka b'ni, ami shafol, this non-blessing. And Chazal explained that the word alai, as the Gra explains actually, that alai is Rosh Tevos, Esav, Laban, and Yosef. That there will be a future where Yaakov would have to experience all these challenges, but Rivka Yimenu was saying, alai kilafka b'ni, then I'll take half of it, you'll deal with the other half. And that tells us something powerful, that we all go through challenges in life. We all go through different difficulties. But we have to recognize and realize that our mother in our lives took away a significant portion, half of the pain, which enables us to weather the difficulty and the challenge so that we can succeed. So when Yaakov Avinu says, alai hayu kulana, now I realize that everything has now come full circle. I see everything. I've gone through Esav. I've lived through Lavan, and I've been trying my best to get through Yosef. Alai hayu kulana. This statement, I feel, is as much a sentiment of despair as it is a hopeful prayer that it will come to an end, and that the pain will come to an end. The pain that Klal Yisrael feels today about the loss of three of the hostages, Erev Shabbos, the loss that we're experiencing, and the pain that we're feeling in trying to come to some form of conclusion to this debacle of October 7th, this massacre, it will hopefully come to an end very, very, very quickly. And all the hostages will be returned. So then we see that Reuven steps forward and says, Eshnei b'nai tamus, I will secure Binyamin's passage. And if not, then my two sons will not survive. So we know that a tzaddik goes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. We know this from Yaakov Avinu when he said, whoever took the teraphim, that's the person that will pass away. And if he had only known that it was his beloved Rachel, he never would have said such words, which means to intimate to us that although we feel that our words are minor, insignificant, don't really count for much, it shouldn't be counted as something serious and valuable for that matter, they are valuable and they count because our actions dictate our designation, and we very well could be a tzaddik or a tzaddikus, and in that respect, we have to be careful with what we say. Sure enough, later on, Dathan v'Aviram, who descended from Reuven, were killed during the time of Korach, I believe. So therefore, we see that Yaakov Avinu, it says, then afterwards it says that the famine intensified, at which point Yehuda steps forward. This is the first time we see Yehuda stepping forward since we learned about Yehuda, Vayeri Yehuda Me'esachav. And now all of a sudden Yehuda steps forward, and he will continue to step forward, because like a lion that's down doesn't get out. Just because a lion may be wounded doesn't mean it stops fighting. A lion that's wounded is sometimes the most dangerous lion, because now he has nothing to lose. Yehuda steps forward and says that I will be the guarantor and I will be an obligor. Anochi Arvenu Miyadi Tevakshenu. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, not roughly 14 lines from the top, 12, 14 lines from the top, says that Rabbi Yochanan had said, Anochi Notrikin. An Anavshi Kasivas Yehavis. I Hashem wrote this Torah, delivered it to you, Kal Yisrael. And therefore, was he really saying? The word Anochi is the first letter in the Aseret HaDibros. Yes, Anochi, the Aleph, took second when the Torah was written with the letter Bereishis kicking off the Torah. However, Anochi is the core of the Torah. As the Ramban explains, that the Aseret HaDibros, the 10 Aseret HaDibros, is a kolel of all 613 mitzvot. You can learn all 613 through the Aseret HaDibros. That means that Anochi plays a pivotal role. And so therefore, Anochi Arvenu, Miyadi Tevakshenu. Yehuda was not saying that he can be a guarantor and an obligor. We all know that that's impossible. If someone were to sign a rental agreement, you can't sign on the right side of the page and then sign on the left side of the page that you're securing yourself to make the payments, especially if you're not able to do so, perhaps. So you're leveraging someone else. How could that someone else be yourself? So what he was really saying is, Anochi Arvenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the guarantor. If Anochi Arvenu, then Miyadi Tevakshenu. Then from my own hand, I can be an obligor. I can live up to that commitment. But this was a very strong wager for Yehuda. And we know that later on, after Yehuda passed away, his bones continued to shake for saying this. Even though he was successful, it still reverberated many, many years later, decades later. So there's a ramification for this. But Anochi Arvenu Miyadi Tevakshenu, and once Yaakov hears these words, he says, go. Because if that's the model in which you are creating for yourself your success model will bear fruit and you will find your objective. And that's what we find as we exit this parsha. Just wanted to close out with this thought that we should be zocha to hear B'surah Tovas this coming week, and that we should only know good news, and God willing, that's Hashem, we should be zocha to have only the very best. This week and always, Mordechai Plotzker wishing you hatzlacha and bracha, and have a wonderful week.